You are listening to
Worldwide Engineering.
Worldwide Engineering.
Worldwide Engineering.
Worldwide Engineering.
What is going on, Worldwide family? Welcome to this episode. Did you know that because of the current crisis we are living through, demand for cloud computing has just skyrocketed through the roof? So I thought, the best thing I could do right now is get a cloud computing expert come on the show and tell us about the industry and what are the opportunities we have as engineers to be part of this growing and emerging industry. Which is why I'd love you to meet Boris. Boris is the co-founder of Stack Labs North America. Stack Labs is a French company and they are one of the leaders in cloud consulting. They basically help companies move to the cloud and they are partnered with Google to offer the best service out there. On this episode, Boris and I really got to dive deep into the cloud industry. How is the cloud going to be affecting other industries out there, as well as the opportunities we have to get in this industry, jump in and grow with it. Also, guys, did you know that Google has its very own programming language? I did not, and Boris, being a big-time programmer, as well as a Google partner, kind of knows what Google is up to, what are the long-term goals Google has with their services. Like, Google has big plans with this programming language that they've rolled out in the last decade, and honestly, it has the potential to really change the programming landscape. And I was honestly really, really, really mind blown by what Boris has been telling me about it. So if this is something you are interested in, keep an ear out for the last one third of the podcast where Boris and I really dive deep into the programming language and what it entails. With that said, people, I appreciate you for being here again. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I hope you appreciate it. Let me know on Instagram what you thought of it. DM me on Worldwide Engineering or on my personal account, Leon Aboud. I'll be reading all DMs and I'll be answering to all of them. I'll see you very soon, guys. Enjoy the show. All right, so Boris, welcome to the show, dude.
Thank you very much.
Welcome to Canada. You recently moved here to start Stack Labs Montreal.
Yeah.
North America, actually.
Exactly.
So I'd like to know, if you can give me an elevator pitch of your company,
yeah.
What you do, what does the company do, and what do you do as a partner in the company?
In the company, yeah. No, Stack Lab is an exciting project. It's an exciting company. Like, it's a team, first of all, before being a company. And Stack Lab, we are doing consulting, cloud consulting. So we are helping company who decide to move to the cloud. So it's an exciting journey for us to help them adopt the cloud, give them best practice to move to the cloud. And yes, that's it. We are a consulting company.
What is your core service?
Our core service is, we have, can I say, four core services, because depending on the type of company you're working with. So the first of all is with what we call cloud onboarding. You know, we challenge the readiness of the company. Is it able to move to the cloud, and provide, as I say, best practice during a 5 workshop to just teach them the knowledge, the basic knowledge of the cloud. That's the first core services. And we also have what we call cost optimization. Uh-huh. Because you know now everything is about the cost. Every company just want to be sure that they don't spend a lot of money, whatever is in the cloud or not. So we're trying to help them understand how to optimize their cost using the cloud. So we have this offer, and they like it. They like the way that we are a small team. We are just 30, 35 today, you know, around the world, friends in Canada. And we are excited when we are working with them, saying, "Oh, look at this part. You're spending too money." Mm-hmm. And so also we are DevOps in the team. We are also DevOps. I don't know if you already heard about DevOps, this way that you want to break the line between your development team and your ops team. So you have this kind of methodology, mindset of DevOps. So we have this offer, Club DevOps. We help company with their pipeline to implement the pipeline that we ship the application in production. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's the third main core services that we have.
There's one more you said.
We have one more. What is called migration.
Yeah. Okay.
We can help them understand the cloud, prepare the onboarding, and then when they are ready, they can also work with us to move the workload from the data center, or the on-premise, or the legacy infrastructure to the cloud. So we have this offer named Cloud Migration. And today we are especially working with Google as a cloud provider to help the company so move to the cloud.
Okay. Yeah. Before we go into the Google part, because I'm super interested in that. So you said the first service you offer that kind of caught my attention.
Yeah.
And it's about the preparedness of companies to move into the cloud, correct?
Exactly.
So how do you rate a company's preparedness? Do you have like a scale, do you have a rating that you look at different things and you identify?
Yeah.
So can you give me an example, like a practical company that you've worked with and the different types of ratings that you've gone through to identify
exactly.
the company?
So sometimes when you start working with the client, it depends on the level of the technical guy inside, the developer inside, the architecture inside. So that's the first first way to rate the company and say, okay, are you ready to understand what we are going to teach you? So if you have, for example, a big company, we already work with a big company leading the network of IoT, Internet of Things, and their company, inside the company, that's the DevOps, the developer, the engineering team is so talented. So we say, okay, if you're going to teach them something, it will be very easy for us. Because sometimes when we talk about cloud, it just mean that you will use, for example, if you talk about public cloud, you will use an external provider. But what this external provider give you, you can make it in your own data center. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we have client who already have the skills. You know what I mean? The skills. So for this kind of client, we say, okay, technically they are already ready to move to the cloud. They're already ready to understand what we're going to teach them. Sometimes we're going to just make the difference saying, okay, when you are in your data center, sometimes you don't really care about the cost because you have a big picture of your data center. But when you're going to move to the cloud, sometimes the cost is different. It's different, you have to rethink. So for the client who already have a skilled engineering team, for us sometimes we say, okay, it's easy. So the top rate, if you can say that. And you also have the size of the company. For the startup or the big company, it's not the same thing. You know, sometimes for a startup is what they call time to market. You don't want to care about the way to architecture the product, the infrastructure. Sometimes they don't care about it. They want to move fast to see how the product will be handled in the market. And for us, it's another way to rate them and say, okay, this startup, they don't have the skill, and they don't want sometimes to have the skill inside because they don't care. It's not they don't care about it, but it's easy for them to just hire someone externally to help them, and that's another way to for us to rate the company. So we take the size, we take the already the skill inside, and that's it.
I'd like to know more about your partnership with Google.
Yeah.
So Stack Labs is one of France's leading cloud consulting companies.
Exactly.
Correct?
Exactly. Yeah.
And by partnering with Google, you're basically offering customers the convenience of using the cloud platform.
Yeah.
And you, as Stack Labs France, help customers move their operations from the cloud, from actual data centers to the cloud, correct?
Exactly.
So how easy was it for you to get in touch with Google, to partner and to actually start this company that is one of the leading cloud consultants?
Yeah. In fact, you have to know that working with Google especially with Google, that you can make this kind of business model. In fact, when you have a cloud provider like Google, as you mentioned, or AWS or Azure, sometimes they have what they call certification skills that require a company to work with them. So in our company, as we are 35 today, we say, okay, if we decide to learn the Google Cloud Platform, we will also be able to be certified. We will ensure that we have a certification to provide to the client and say, okay, we know what we are talking about. And for us, it's easy to say to Google, okay, can we work with you because we already have the certification that require to talk about your platform.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I mean? And it's like that is how we say you can build a partnership with Google, because Google requires something to say, okay, we are a partner. You can just say, okay, I know the platform. No, you have to have this kind of requirement. And one of the big requirements is to have at least a certain number of certification.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that. So we become our journey with Google because we have a lot of certification inside. Data engineering, certification, architecture. We also have DevOps.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and we can also provide training.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like that. The partnerships become with Google.
So there's a few cloud computing services out there.
Yeah.
A few giants. Google Cloud, AWS.
Yeah, cloud provider. Yeah.
Microsoft.
Yeah, exactly.
And all of them, from someone in my perspective who doesn't know cloud that much in the details, I would say that they're all kind of offering the same service. They're offering,
that's right.
They're all offering companies cloud storage,
and
they're all kind of competing on the cost basis.
Yeah, yeah.
So what differentiates, as an expert, Google from AWS, from Azure, you said, from Oracle, from all those big cloud computing providers?
For me, the first thing you have to think is, how is your relationship with the technology?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I say, okay, I like Google, it's not I'm working with Google, it's because, first of all, I like Google. When I say, sometimes when I say that, it can be, people can say, okay, you're not objective because you already have some previous experiences with Google, right? That's true also for a company. When we have a client who are using, for example, a database from Oracle, right? Sometimes when Oracle proposes services, it's easy for you to design something on top of the Oracle database that you already have. So it will be easy for you to say, okay, the Oracle stack, it's simple for me to put in my legacy stack. So sometimes for companies like that, and I don't want to go into a company and say, okay, just drop everything and go to Google or go to Amazon. No, it's not like that. It's not like that. We see what you already got in your legacy data center, in your legacy environment, and also the skills, because everything is about the skills. If you have a guy who already understand stack from Oracle or from Microsoft, even if it's not about a cloud, because they already be in touch with some tech from Microsoft, so it will be easy for you, for your strategy, to say, okay, maybe we will go to Microsoft cloud and see how things goes on. So sometimes for companies like that, and being in the tech and being a VP in company, talking with my colleague, our goal is not to say, okay, drop everything and go to Google Cloud. It's not like that. It's not working like that. But when you move, and for example, I take an example with Microsoft. When you move to Microsoft, you say, okay, I got everything that I need. I can build everything that I need. And sometimes you will decide to take a look of another cloud provider, because it's a bad habit to say, I will stick with only one. That is not a good strategy.
So, but then my question is there any advantages? Like, is, for example, Google better than AWS
Yeah, it can be better, for example, when you talk about reporting the billing. If about billing the invoice, I can say, okay, if you take the two invoices, maybe you will read the invoice from Google better than from AWS. Does that mean that Google is better? No. Maybe for you it's more convenient according to your business model, according to your skills, as I say, according to what you already got. For example, we can say, okay, for talking about a load balancer, you know what I mean? For example, when you want to provide your application globally.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the technology from AWS will be different from Google. So you will decide inside, what do I prefer? Do I prefer to have one, we call load balancer, which globally, it's around the world, or do I prefer to buy in each part of the world where I want to have my company some kind of load balancer? So sometimes it will depend on what your design require. So you can say today, you can say it's not right to say that Google is better than Amazon or Amazon is better than Azure, okay, and Microsoft. So it will depend on your architecture, your design, your skill, your legacy.
So this is where StackLabs comes in.
Yeah, that's,
and this is exactly where you come in and you mentor people. Basically.
You mentor, we coach. It's a coach.
Okay.
We say, okay, but for sure we have so partner with Google, as I mentioned. We are also AWS partner. So our goal is not to, we don't sell you something to say, okay, go to Google. No, it's not a goal. We sell you a solution.
Uh-huh.
What do you want? What is your main concern? Is it the cost? Is it the storage? Is it the computing? Is it how you want to maximize the way your workload work? And sometimes maybe AWS can be better in your situation.
Uh-huh.
So we came and give you best practice and you see what's going on.
Because I was asking you this because I personally have a few documents on AWS that I've used, a few ebooks that I've published.
Yeah.
And that the first platform that I basically thought of uploading on the cloud was AWS.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And honestly, I was really surprised by the ease of use of uploading things to AWS.
Yeah.
I literally just dragged my folder from my computer into the Amazon website and boom, all of a sudden I had a AWS account.
That's it. You see.
And I'm paying like $1 per month,
yeah,
which is extremely
cheap. Yeah.
It's very cheap. So a few days ago, I made a story on Worldwide Engineering.
Yeah, yes.
Telling people that I'm going to be having a cloud expert. And I asked people for them to write the questions they'd like to know.
To know, all right.
And one of the most common questions was people wanted to know the impact cloud is going to be having on the future, emerging technologies.
Yeah.
But before we go into this, I'd like to know, in the last 3 months, the world has it's changed in
with
the
pandemic, COVID-19 thing.
It's changed in ways, but one of the industries that actually thrived during times of crisis was the cloud, because now all of a sudden a lot of companies realize we need to be on the cloud. If we're not online, we do not exist
anymore. Yeah, you don't.
So I'm curious to know, did StackLabs see an increase in customers, an increase in demand?
Sure. You know what we're seeing a lot is about security.
Security.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah. Now everybody is working from home, and some company you don't used to have a lot of people who want to access the private network from outside, because you just go to the office and you plug everything in your network and that's it. Now with this COVID-19 situation, you have to you have what I call, it's not a remote work, but we can talk it in another podcast. It's a quarantine work. You have to work from home.
You have to, yeah, I know.
From home, not in the coffee shop, or not in the, you have to work from home. So the main concern right now is about security. And they realize for some our client, we already have customer in France who just ask us to help them understand how to deal with the security. And we say, okay, if you were in the cloud, it would be very easy for you.
Mm-hmm. Cloud is much more secure.
Yeah, it's much more secure, and you have a lot of managed services, what we call managed services. So you just take it, you plug everything you need, you some little configuration, and that's it. So yeah, that's the main concern. And also, we also see plan in the, we see education. It's all about remote education right now. So you have to, all the training company who provide training, you have to switch. They have to, if they don't switch, they will die.
They will die.
They
exactly.
will die for sure. They have to switch and see how to provide the video content, training online, live streaming, our answer for now is obvious for us to say, okay, just try the cloud, try the solution. Whatever is cloud provider is, if it's Google, it's AWS. And last week here in Canada, I have a client from Canada who asked me a training company. You can go and make your workout. And they say, okay, we have to be online. If you are not, we are not online. And for us, it's obvious today to let them explore solution from Google and AWS. It would be easy. In maybe 1 or 2 weeks, they can have something online to provide that. So yeah, everything is changing, and we are seeing a lot of companies dealing now to, yeah, seeing how they can move to the cloud. And mostly, it's about security. About security, yeah. And that's it.
So so to answer the second part of the question,
yeah.
which is, how is the growth of cloud in the last few years?
Yeah.
How is this going to also fuel the growth in other industries
that we
aren't currently seeing happening?
Oh, maybe the health. Yeah, no, the future is bright.
is
bright. And when you ask me, which area of the industry we don't see for now, and we probably will see a lot. Yeah, I can say remote education. We are already seeing education online with content, MOOC online, but I think we will see it a lot. We will see it a lot. And we will also see, everything about health.
Health.
Yeah, healthcare. Yeah. It won't be a, I think that's my vision. I'm not an expert in this strategy or everything, but I think that I will be able to stay at home and just have call my doctor and make everything, not on the phone, but like with Zoom, Skype, everything. So I think we will start to see the online hospital. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That everything is online. Everything is online. So the company will say, okay, we are able to make education online. We are able to make a business online, and the cloud will bring this possibility to build a lot of tech industry online. And I think we will start to see this kind of hospital online. No physical room, and just a doctor who decide to build a company, to build a hospital, in fact, and each one is in his home, and I just call my doctor, and everything is online. I'm at home.
It's interesting you mention.
I hope.
It's interesting you mention healthcare, because I was reading yesterday morning. I was reading this newsletter I'm subscribed to. It's called CB Insight.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's all about. It's basically a newsletter that's all about the future of technology, the future of innovation. How are different companies changing the landscape of future industries?
Yeah.
And one of their points in the newsletter is that the past century was marked by different eras. One of them was the electricity revolution in the early 1900s.
Yeah, exactly.
After that came the automotive industry, cars, you know, trucks, all those things.
Yeah.
Then came the internet revolution.
Yeah.
That was from 1990 up until today, 2020.
Today we are still living it, yeah.
And then they say that the next revolution that's coming is healthcare.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think it would be healthcare and... for me, for example, I didn't mention it. You know, I come from Africa. I was born in Cameroon, and when I move, in my travel, when I go in Africa, sometimes I just see the way we are dealing with technology and in healthcare, and I see something is missing. And when I see the cloud today, is the fact that if you are able to make a hospital as I mentioned online. Without a physical building, that would be huge. Because sometimes in the poor country, they have the knowledge. When I say knowledge, start, you have a lot of doctors already graduate from school, but where do you going to work?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they require their office, they don't have an office sometimes, and also sometimes you need to have people who can move to this building, you don't have, you are not able. Sometimes you require building or infrastructure, and if we are able to think, to be smart enough and say, okay, how can we use internet, and as I mentioned for my example in the cloud, to provide a solution where maybe it would be video. We already done it with when you call your friend on WhatsApp and Zoom. It's already this kind of thing, but we can push it and further. And build a hospital online. So it will be healthcare, I think so.
Have you heard of the Folding Home Project?
Folding Home Project?
Yeah.
No.
You haven't heard of it?
I haven't heard about it.
It's so cool. So, so the Folding Home is basically something that came out 21 years ago. And it was developed in one of the big US universities. I forgot which one exactly.
Yeah.
And basically what the concept is, it's super cool.
Yeah.
Is that different individuals, let's say you have a computer at home, I have a computer at home, and each one of us can volunteer by giving access to some of our RAM and some of our computing processor.
We give
some of it to we connect our computer to this cloud.
Share, yes.
And then what happens is, if enough people connect to it,
have a lot of instances.
All of a sudden, we have a supercomputer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I didn't know. That's a cool idea, by the way.
It is. It's called Folding Home. It was started 20 more years ago, and the first purpose of it was to look for extraterrestrial life. So we had there were satellites scanning the space, and for you to process all those gigabytes of images, you need a lot of computing powers.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's how they came up. And you know how they're using Folding Home right now?
Maybe you're going to tell me that it moved to the cloud, right?
No, I mean, it's the Folding Home is technically a cloud.
It's a cloud, it's exactly. Yeah, for sure. The way you can scale your resources.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
So right now they're using it to find a vaccine for the coronavirus.
Oh.
So once again, they ask volunteers to volunteer some of their processing power.
Yeah.
And what they're using Folding Home is to look through millions of combinations for the virus's protein and DNA sequence. Things that take a lot of processing power. And they're using it now. Exactly, they're using it now. And I found that
amazing.
Super cool.
That's super cool, by the way, because I think that the advantage of this solution is maybe the cost.
The cost.
Because, the cost. You don't have to pay for resources that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Because with the cloud, you will have to pay. So
it's very smart when you think about it, because it's using already existing infrastructure that's not being used. It's kind of Airbnb and Uber. For example, Uber was able to create a platform for people to use their cars when they're not being used.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing for Airbnb.
Same thing for Airbnb and same thing for Folding Home.
That sounds so good. I think it's why I really love, you know, innovation, by the way, because sometimes it's just you have it around you and you just, it's a click. Like you have a vision and you say, okay, oh my God, I didn't think about it, and that's it. You have something.
Yeah, it's true. Something I'm really passionate about lately has been the impact 5G technology is going to have on society. You know, it's expected that by 2025, 2.8 billion people are going to be connected to 5G network. So how will 5G and cloud work together? You've mentioned IoT, for example. How will those three different parameters, how will they, like, will improvements in 5G lead to improvements in cloud? And will that lead to IoT improvements? How are those interconnected?
I will say the improvement in the cloud will benefit improvement in the 5G and improvement in the IoT. But it's not, network is not my main topics. But I can say the fact that with the cloud you can be, you can provide what we call high availability. High availability. So I can have my product here in Canada. I don't care about France, Asia, whatever I want. And one day you just came and you say, oh, Boris, we need to target Canada, France, and just like clicking on the button and that's it. So I think that, this part of the, it's easy for you to trick your network like that. It would be, it would benefit to the IoT and high 5G technology. But I don't really know deeper about 5G, how things will go and move and change the cloud, because the network is not a,
it's a whole different topic.
It's a whole different topic, so you need, sometimes you need to go deep dive to understand. But I think the it's easy today, whenever you talk about network or not, when you're in the cloud, it's easy for you to say, okay, how can I make my network be available, whatever I want in the world. I'm right now in Canada and I want to target Africa or Europe. That's easy. You don't need to have an expert in your team. Just make some configuration and that's it. So I think maybe this part will be explored. Because when you talk about IoT, we are working, I know that in one of our, for one of our client who is doing a thing to connect customer with their pool, you have an app application to
with their swimming pool.
Your swimming pool at home.
Okay.
You can see the you can configure your, you can tweak the settings of your pools. Just say you want a hot pool today. All these things is going to IoT network, and I guess that, for example, if I'm here in Canada, I want to control my pool in France, I would be able to do it. But it will be easy for the tech company who build it to be on the cloud, because for them it will be easy to do that.
When you think about it, it's not surprising that some of the companies that are leading the smart home revolution are the companies that have the biggest cloud
infrastructure. Exactly.
Like, for example, my Google Home at home, I can ask her to turn on my lights.
For sure.
You know, it won't be long since, I think
Amazon
has a Christmas tree that you can, like a smart Christmas tree that you can say, hey, Alexa, turn on my Christmas tree. You know, so we're definitely heading that direction. It's super interesting.
No, for me, I think that, it's why when I was talking, it's amazing that we were talking about it. Sometimes my father just say, well, you really love the cloud. I don't know why. I said, that it's the future. It's not because I just like it, because I see everybody's moving to the cloud for a reason. So for a reason, what innovation bring us a lot of things to think of, a lot of what to think about. And when I think about the cost, and I think about infrastructure, I think about a way to target the world. I'm not saying I will pay someone in Africa or in Europe to target my client. I can be here in Canada, I can be here in America, and I have my product available for everyone without latency. Like they use it like and without the latency, without notice something, just I have everything, my infrastructure is here in Canada. I just click on some button in the cloud provider and it will be able for them to access it. So I like the cloud for that.
I can tell you like the cloud. Last time we were sitting on the weekend and you kind of blew my mind.
Yeah, really?
All of a sudden we started talking about the future of programming.
Yeah.
And you gave me the biggest FOMO, fear of missing out. you started telling me about Google Flutter.
Yeah.
This new programming language that Google was like secretly rolling out.
Yeah,
they're planning to overtake the
mobile
app development.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I heard of Google Flutter. And whenever you have Google before a name,
you know
it's serious.
Yeah, it can be serious. Yeah, for sure. I'm not working for Google, but I know that it can be serious. We talk about it because as I mentioned, in fact, it's Dart, the language.
Dart.
You have the language named Dart, was released. I think now it's more than 10 years ago. And it was released as an alternative to JavaScript. Also, they released it to challenge JavaScript for the web development. And we can say, honestly, that this goal was not achieved. Because, it's really difficult today to say, okay, we're going to replace JavaScript. JavaScript is a nice technology, by the way. It's a nice language, even if you can take some bad part and make a big topic about it. And this goal of replacing JavaScript in the web development was not a success for Google. That's for sure. And what I see using Dart when I was starting a company, I was trying to make my own product. And by the way, I did it. I wrote a website named Pick and School in France. It's a kind of online catalog where you can find higher school education in France. So I wrote it with Dart. So it's during this period that I learned Dart, by the way. And so Google just changed the strategy, the roadmap, saying, okay, we're gonna see if we can target the cross-platform development. In fact, it was not the mobile development, but it was cross-platform, saying we will target cross-platform development. What does it mean when I say cross-platform? Mm-hmm. It's the way you can have one code base. You just wrote one code base. So you ask your development team to write just one code base, and you will target many platforms. You can target the web, you can target the desktop, you can target the mobile. That can be really nice, right? Yeah. Huh. That's the innovation part for me, to say, okay, we can do it for sure. It's not like some other tech company who just say, okay, we start something, but it's working nicely on the web, but not nicely on the mobile. So Google say, okay, we're going to see if we can make an improvement in the cross-platform development. So I say, well, that simply like that is the future. Is the future why? Because from my own point of view, it's my point of view, because when I used to help company with the mobile development, what we see till today is the fact that if you want to build a great application, you will say, I will have my team Android, my expert with Android, they will build the application, mm-hmm. and you will duplicate it, you will make another team with the talent in iOS, Apple stack.
So that costs double.
Yeah, that costs double. So every company cannot afford this kind of team. They're having two teams to maintain the application. So previously, we have a lot of company going to the solution named Hybrid technology. So it means that you have a web skills. It's enough for you to go to the mobile, because you would build your application with all your web skills. Those, in fact, you are building a web application, and you will wrap it in a, you have technology like Cordova who will wrap your web application and provide a mobile application. That's nice though, but you can have the same performance as a native mobile application. So when you think about a solution, a cross-platform solution, who will bring you with a one code base the possibility to provide the application in different platform with the same performance, the same high quality as building directly with Android or with iOS, all the company will say, okay, that's what we take really and use it.
So what you're describing now with Flutter is that the ideal destination that Google wants to take with Dart
and Flutter, both, because Dart, as I mentioned, is a language, and Flutter is the framework to build cross platform. You can build many things with Dart. You can build what I call a server, command line, but when you use Flutter with the SDK, with the framework to build cross-platform application, you will need to know how to code in Dart. As when you see, for example, you're building a web application with framework like Angular. Have you ever heard about Angular? Whatever you take as a framework, you will need a language to code. So for example, with Angular, it's TypeScript, JavaScript. And when you will decide to make a cross-platform using Flutter, you will use Dart. Yeah.
Okay. So, in reality, is Flutter currently offering this, or is it developed enough to offer this? And I'm simply asking because a few days ago, I made a post saying top 10 most
framework language
in demand programming languages, and you had the typical stuff: C++, Python, Java, and nowhere did I see Flutter.
I will be honest with you and ask you to run it next year.
Okay,
and you will have it because because the trending is going up with Flutter and Dart. Yeah, do you have a lot of company using it right now? No, it's like an early adopter. They're starting to use it to see if the target is reached with Flutter and that. So I think next year you will have a lot of company. Yeah. Company already started to use it. We can see it with the training. We have a lot of company asking for training. You cannot change your production stack like that. It's not computer science is not working like that. Mm-hmm. You know, when you make your post, the in demand is about today. You see what I mean? It's about to maintain the application in production right now. And if you are a CTO of a company, you're gonna say, okay, we have our product, we have our application for production. We're gonna maintain it, make some upgrade, but we're gonna think about the future. And thinking about the future, you're gonna hire some talented guy and start to think about. So you don't gonna find a lot of job in the market about Flutter and Dart for now, because some kind of prototype. You already have Alibaba in Asia already use it for a production app. You have BMW who starting to think about how to integrate it in the car. You have a lot of them. I can name a few.
So Alibaba and BMW.
If you Google it, you see Alibaba. You are the Flutter app. You have you have a page, and if you talk about mobile development application. What I don't like when we talk about Flutter is only to mention mobile development, because Flutter is not only designed for mobile application. For what I see, what I learn, what I understand at the beginning of the project, is for multi platforms. Yeah, but today if you Google it about the way mobile development is turning, you will see of course Android, you will see iOS, but you will starting to see something named Flutter. You already got something from Facebook named React Native. Mm-hmm. You have it, and now, just to make your post, update it, and you will see React Native and Flutter. Yeah. It's not just because I love it. I give in topics and conferences about the Flutter, but I see a lot of people moving from web, from Android, from iOS skills to Flutter. Just the way that the quality is huge. It's like building directly with native solution. You have everything. Sometimes you ask yourself, oh my God, it just take me 10 minutes to build something.
Okay.
That's it.
So if you were starting right now studying computer science or computer engineering or any engineering, you'd learn Flutter first thing, right?
Oh, no. If you start, you start engineering, do you start learning Flutter right now? No, I don't know if I can tell that to the student. Ooh, that's a huge question, by the way.
A lot of responsibility.
Yeah, because what I found interesting with my journey at school is the fact that when you learn a framework, you miss a lot of things. You know why? Because framework is changing quickly. What you're learning with your framework today can change in 5 years. 5 years is small, you know what I mean? Flutter, the goal is for cross-platform development. But maybe in 5 years, Google will change the product, providing another way to achieve the same goal. So what you have to understand when you start in computer science engineering, it's why you want to do cross-platform development. So what I would say, okay, mm-hmm. started to understand why cross-platform development, why are we building a web application, why are we building a desktop application, why are we building a mobile application? Because I remember a day when we say with my colleague, we need to drop every desktop application.
Okay.
We need to drop it. We don't need it, desktop application. And we realized after that, no, we cannot do everything without a desktop application. So that's the engineering part. For me, that's the journey as a student, to understand the basics, why computer science engineering is involving.
So how would you go forward? Like, what would be the first thing you'd learn? Like,
as a language, practically.
Yeah.
You have people will say Java, Python, C++, C. That's what I learned when I was a student, like everybody else. I will stick with that. I will stick with what can give you a best understanding of programming, whatever you decide to choose. Because, for example, when you talk about Dart, talking about Dart, a language start, for example, in 2010. 2 years after, you have a lot of people using it.
Mm-hmm.
Why? They don't take a lot of year to learn it, but they need to have the basics. So you can stick with Java, C++, Python, what we learn today and continue to learn at school. Just learning as make your learning curve simple.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to jump in the new technology just because the new technology. You can jump. You can also learn during when you're on the train, in the plane, like I do. But if you don't have basics, I would say I don't care what you learn. You won't remember anything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I won't give an advice saying you need to learn this language or this language or this language, because it depends also. It depends also on your area. If you're going to data science area, yeah, for sure Python. Python is the way. You want to learn that if you want to go to and be in the AI industry. Yeah, if you want to understand how to build a backend application, microservices, or today's Go, everybody's going to Go. So maybe you go there, and if you are a student at school, yeah, just learn a little bit everything to understand why we're using Java. What is the how you say plus minus of each one.
That's what I like about engineering school is that you don't leave engineering school being an expert at anything. But you leave having a bit of knowledge
of
about
everything.
A lot of things.
Yeah, exactly.
And that will let you and that will give you enough knowledge when you graduate to assess what you like and what the industry needs and where the industry is heading.
Exactly.
So that then you can specialize yourself.
Exactly.
You can dive deep into
the
industry.
Yeah, that's my view when I was at school. I was so passionate about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Plus I was passionate about everything, not only about computer science and engineering. I remember spending nights understanding mathematics, physics,
mm-hmm.
everything, also music,
mm-hmm.
you know. So yeah, you need to have a little bit of everything to step take back and say, okay, what I want to choose, what I want to go further. That's it. Yeah. And as you mentioned, in computer science engineering, it's obvious to see this people involved this way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have a question from a community member for you.
Community member. Yeah.
Yeah. On Instagram.
Oh.
His name is Ben.
Yeah.
And he asked you if I want to go, I'm still a student and I want to go into cloud.
Yeah.
I'm interested in cloud.
Yeah.
How would you recommend me, what are the steps you'd recommend me to take? As a student.
Today. As a student.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. You have a, what we call a, you have a introduced courses. You have a lot of, and then you have courses. We provide a lot of stuff to learn, to start, to think about the offer behind the cloud. You have a Linux Academy. In fact, you need to understand what we call, what I call everything as a service. What is a P as a service? What is I as a service? You know, platform as a service, infrastructure as a service, database as a service. You need to, software as a service. You need to learn the basic, the concept behind the cloud, because the cloud is all this thing put together to provide you with services. You know, you need a platform as a service. If you don't understand what is platform as a service, as like as a student, I mean, you will start to use the cloud and say, oh my God, what is the platform as a service? No, so
okay.
If you start to you want to go into the cloud, you need to have what we call the basics to understand methodology, the what is the solution provided by the cloud. The cloud is providing software as a service, platform as a service, infrastructure as a service, database as a service. You see what is the concept behind this thing. That's the first step. That's the first step for each student. If you're starting to practice something and I ask you, what is the software as a service? And you feel, oh, I don't know. I say, okay, you're losing, go back.
Yeah.
You need to learn something. It's like going to take your car. You drive, you can drive, right? And when I see a red thing, I don't know, it's whatever sign I see in the road, and I see, what is it? You say, I don't know. And I say, oh my God, are you driving something and you don't know what is it? So I want to go out. I say, oh, just stop the car, I'm going out because I don't know I'm going with you. It's like that with the cloud. So I would say with everything in the computer science industry, but with the cloud, exactly this way. You need to have the basic to understand.
So start by learning the basics.
The basics. Yeah.
What would be your second step?
My second step is practice now. Start it.
How?
You can make whatever you want as a small computer science engineer, as a student. Or today I see a lot of students in the whatever I want, see people with their computer coding something, making small application. Try to deploy it using the cloud technology. You have a lot of free option. Can I say that with Google, with AWS, for example. With Google, I love the Firebase solution. Just when I want to make small application, sometimes my girlfriend just say, "Oh, Boris, can we make something for home?" And I say, "Well, what do you want? A to-do list for grocery shopping?" I say, "Okay, I will try." I say, "No, I don't want to use Trello. I will make some." And I use it. I just build it and I put it to Firebase. It's cheap, but it's also you can have a free solution. So yeah, just trying to play with it. As I say, play with it. Just play with it. As you did with AWS. Just play with it. You learn the basics and you will see that Firebase, you will learn what we call a concept named serverless. You will see. You can write a small function, a logic, and you don't need an infrastructure to deploy it as you don't previously. You just give to Firebase this logic and it will take care of everything. And also you want a database, you want something, you just ask Firebase, just give me one, and you have a solution. You just play with it. You don't need to be an expert or go to industry and say, we need a big project. No, you don't need it. You don't need it. Even if you want just to deploy a simple website, you can go and you have something in AWS, Azure, you create your account, you understand the concept. Yeah, that's, and you can do it as a student. You don't need to be an expert to do it.
That's great.
Yeah,
that was great. Where can people find you and your company?
Yeah, in my company, I would say, by the way, in the internet today, in the net. So
the cloud.
The cloud, exactly. The funny part. Yeah, you can find us in, by the way, the headquarters of the company is in France, as I told you, in Toulouse. And just to mention, we have a lot of Greek guys. I'm working with passionate people. I feel lucky, by the way. Every time I say it, people say, oh, Boris, I feel lucky because the company, so passionate people, and the the captain of the team named Frederic Volpi is the guy who say, okay, I have this vision and I will bring a lot of people around me to help me with the vision. It's a smart guy. And we're based in Toulouse, in France, where I come from. So you just Google stacklab.com, you will find us. And you can also find us. We're trying to be present on a social network. We're trying our best. I know that sometimes we are not using social network as the new generation are using it very well. But we are trying our best to be on social networks, mainly LinkedIn and Twitter. And maybe I will think about Instagram for America, for Canada.
You have to.
Yeah, you told me that. Yeah. And that's it. And you can follow me. I'm using Twitter a lot. Twitter and Instagram. Just BWNYASSE. That's my username on so every social network I'm using the same. And that's it. You can just Google it, and I think that I'm sure that you will find a lot of great guys from StackLab. I'm working with passionate people, smart people. We call it the stackers. You're a stacker. You are not guy from StackLab. You are stackers. You're a stacker. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Boris, thank you for coming.
Thank you very much, my friend.
It was amazing.
Yeah, my pleasure.